Hello, thank you for joining us for another week of the Muswell Hill Methodist Church podcast. Maybe this is the first you're hearing of us, maybe you're here regularly. Either way, we're so glad to be sharing this with you. If you are new here, please have a look at our social media so you can find out more about the work we do and see if we offer anything that you might find helpful or interesting. This sermon is taken from our covenant service on Sunday, which is a time when we renew our commitment to following Jesus. We were blessed to have the chair of our district, Reverend Nigel Cowgill, preaching for us on Sunday. Before we hear that, let's listen to God's word. Jeremiah 31, reading verses 31 to 34. The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the people of Israel and with the people of Judah. It will not be like the covenant I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand to lead them out of Egypt, because they broke my covenant, though I was a husband to them, declares the Lord. This is the covenant I will make with the people of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. No longer will they teach their neighbor or say to one another, "Know the Lord," because they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more. John chapter 15, verses 1 to 10. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself, it must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love.
Friends, it's good to be back with you. It seems a long time since I've been with you. I think it was actually Matt's welcome service the last time I preached here. So I don't know what I've done wrong in the last 5 years. But I noticed also that you had my colleague a few weeks ago. And there's a bit of a competition, Matt tells me in the vestry, about who will deliver the shortest sermon. There is an old proverb which says, "Blessed the one who gives a short sermon, for they will be invited back." Friends, when I walked in this morning, it was good to have a walk round your community garden and your community space. And I know from having conversations with Matt that to get to even the space that you've got has not been an easy journey for you. And then in the notices, we hear that over the next week or so, you'll be having a Saturday, I think it was Saturday, where you can come and do things in that garden. Let me tell you, folks, that I am no gardener, and so I will not be joining you on Saturday. I'm sorry, Matt, that's just the way life goes. In my childhood home, my mum had a small area in the garden where she grew herbs, strawberries, so it was quite nice. Someone said strawberry was their favourite fruit. I was a bit disappointed because she also grew rhubarb, but nobody said rhubarb. And one day, I announced that I'd be happy to do a little bit of weeding, to my mother's shock. Now, my mother was a strong northern woman. Strong northern women are not shocked very easily. And with the shock, but also with some delight that actually I was doing something for her. So she allowed me to do it. Now, friends, I know what a strawberry looks like. I know what a stick of rhubarb looks like. The difficulty was, when I walked back into the house to tell her that I'd finished, the glare, and she had a glare, you know, one of those glares where you don't have to say anything, on her face, I knew that I was in trouble. I thought the weeds that I'd pulled up were weeds. To my mother's upset, let me say, they were chives. Now, you may think that is just a rookie mistake, but I would contend if you look at a weed and you look at a chive, they do look similar. And for 40 years, I still think a chive looks different from a weed. But friends, we don't need to worry ourselves of such things this morning. Just don't ask me to come over and do your gardening. And of course, that reading from the Gospel this morning is not about the joys or the woes of winemaking, neither. When Jesus says in that reading, "I am the vine," he is making an important statement to the people who can hear in the Jewish background. The Old Testament Israel, God's people, was described as the vineyard. So for Jesus to call himself the vine is for him to claim that he is all that God intended for the people of God to be. I am so impressed with your new logo and the words underneath. Inclusive Justice Seeking Church. That's what the God of today wants his people to be. We may have different views on what that means, but that's what we are called to be. And so Jesus is telling us here then about how we grow as God's people. Hence, when we read the passage, this passage at the covenant service each year. And of course, if you listen to that reading, it is filled with assumptions that God acts first and then we respond. And that would be really easy, wouldn't it? God tells you to do something and then you get on with it and do it. But friends, Jesus is already the vine. The Father is already the gardener. The Father already loves Jesus. And Jesus already loves you. Now, if I was an evangelical or a charismatic, I'd expect you'd be saying hallelujah at that point and amen. Because God's saving actions come first. Everything we do is because God has already reached out to us in love through his Son. Friends, that is the very nature of the covenant. And that's what we're coming to do today. We're not coming in order to make impossible promises to God, fingers crossed behind our backs, hoping that we manage to twist his arm into pleasing us. No, friends, we are responding to God's love for us in loving us. We come to this covenant service because God has already come to us in Emmanuel, God with us. We come today, friends, to make our vows, our promises, because already God has set us free in the death and resurrection of Jesus. And he is continually doing that as we grow. And we will proclaim that again in a moment as we share around the table of grace and receive communion together. And so, friends, today we come then not to a severe God who wants to torture us with unreasonable demands, but yes, to a God of outrageous grace. We come to make our promises today because God has already loves us. We don't have to win him over because he has stopped at nothing to love us. Our promises today are where we recognize with joy and say that we will stop at nothing to love God, our neighbors, and ourselves in response. It appears to me that there's a strand of Christianity that tends to reduce faith down to the moment of decision for Christ and little else. We hear people say, "I've been born again," at that one particular moment, at that one particular time. And for some, that's fine. But for many of us, it doesn't happen like that. For many of us, we continue to grow and sometimes struggle with our faith. Jesus calls for disciples, not one-off decisions. Jesus calls for disciples, not one-off decisions. And disciples are those who are committed to the long haul. And by God, sometimes being a Christian feels like a long haul, I can tell you. But by definition, a disciple is a learner, an apprentice. We don't learn our trade of being a Christian overnight. It takes a lifetime. And, who knows, maybe more. So Jesus therefore calls us to remain in him, as we hear in that reading. That way he can nurture us. Our renewed covenant that we make today might be just a small way of remaining in him and looking at our spiritual disciplines or means of grace, as Wesley would have called it. And for those of you who are finding life a little bit tough today, for whatever reason, painful life circumstances, things just getting on top of us, dreadful things are happening in the world. Friends, as we read this covenant together, I invite you to see that covenant promise today, perhaps just as a simple commitment of staying with Christ. Nothing more, but just a simple commitment of staying with Christ. And as we come and celebrate in this place, perhaps some of us are saying, "Right, God, right, Lord, I really can't do this Christianity stuff anymore. I can barely keep my head above water." So say this covenant as that commitment to ask to stay with Christ. Because I believe when we say things like that, there is good news for us. Because we recognise that God's got a grip on us and it's stronger than ours on his. But what about that word in that passage about obeying in our reading? Quite often when people tell me as a district chair, generally they're ministers, who tell me that, Nigel, you must do that. I'm the kind of person who would push back, kind of thing. So you might say I'm not really into obeying. I listen, but I'm not really into obeying. But in this reading, it gives us a different sense of what that's about. Because you want to know how to remain in Christ's love. And Jesus simply says, keeping my commands, just as I obey the Father. For ultimately, the need to obey is about love. Jesus links keeping his commands with remaining in his love. Does that sound tough or unfair? Well, granted, we often think of love in terms of equal relationships. And so obedience is not the first category that comes to our mind. And when we have to acknowledge that our relationship with Christ perhaps is not of equals. Nevertheless, love is possible. And I think that those 3 points, see, you thought you didn't think you were getting a 3-point sermon, did you? But you did. Those 3 points tie together everything about what we do when we say that covenant together and we come to that table of grace. For as I said, we are all called to respond to God, who in Christ has reached out to us in love in the first place. And all that we do is in loving response to his love. You could say amen, hallelujah at that point, because that's quite simple really, isn't it? It's not bad really to go away amen, is it really? Huh? All we do is in loving response to his love. It's not a bad sermon starter, that one, is it? But in the light of that love, friends, we secondly want to remain in relationship. And we are in for the long haul in a discipleship way. Even when there are times when we are able to do more than just cling on. And thirdly, we want to demonstrate that by remaining in Christ's love, we are obeying his command. So friends, these things bind us closely together to Jesus, the vine, the true Israel. For we become more truly what we have been called to be by grace, the people of God. Amen.
Thanks again for joining us for another episode of our podcast. If you're interested in anything you heard today, or are interested in coming to one of our services, please reach out to us via our website or social media. As always, please do follow our podcast so that you can stay up to date with all our new episodes. Until next time, God bless you.